Notice how they do it. And that brings me here to chapter 5. And notice this. Then came all the tribes of Israel to David unto Hebron. That is, they sent representatives, of course, saying, Behold, we are thy bone and thy flesh. And that was true. And that's the thing that made this civil war as terrible as it was, because those people were fighting among themselves. I personally think the greatest and worst war that this country fought was the Civil War. I think that as you look back at it today, it was almost something that was unnecessary. It was the hotheads, the protesters in that day that got this country in trouble. And that's the reason I'm opposed to all hot-headed protesters. I don't care what side they're on today, because that's the crowd that got this nation in trouble way back yonder. It was not the man who actually fought the war like General Grant and Abraham Lincoln and Robert E. Lee. They found themselves in an awkward situation. And you can still see the vestige in the carryover of that war that was fought actually over 100 years ago. And yet the scars are still here. And so this was a great civil war that had been carried on. Now the nation is to be united under David and to enter the greatest period that this nation has ever enjoyed in the past, and it'll be typical of the day that Christ comes and rules. Now will you notice what we have here? All the tribes now come to David through their representatives. Listen to verse 2. Also in time past, when Saul was king over us, thou wast he that leddest out and broughtest in Israel. And the Lord said to thee, Thou shalt feed my people Israel, thou shalt be a captain over Israel. Well, they are rather late in getting around to acknowledge that David was the legitimate and the right ruler over these people. And they should have recognized this before, but belatedly they've got around to it now, and they recognize him. So that all the elders of Israel came to the king to Hebron, and King David made a league with them in Hebron before the Lord, and they anointed David king over Israel. Now this nation is ready to enter its greatest period of prosperity and expansion. David was 30 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 40 years. In Hebron, he reigned over Judah 7 years and 6 months. And in Jerusalem, he reigned 33 years over all Israel and Judah, which actually means he reigned 40 years and 6 months. Now notice the first move that David does to consolidate the kingdom. He moves the capital from Hebron up to Jerusalem. Verse 6, And the king and his men went to Jerusalem under the Jebusites, the inhabitants of the land, which spake unto David, saying, Except thou take away the blind and the lame, thou shalt not come in hither, thinking David cannot come in hither. They underestimated David again. David was a great military leader and a great leader politically and a great king. And most of all and best of all, he was a real man of God. Now notice this. Nevertheless, David took the stronghold of Zion. The same is the city of David. Mark that in your Bible. I've marked that in my Bible, and you know why? Zion was David's favorite spot. The city of Zion is the city of David. And if you've ever been to that land and to the city of Jerusalem, you'll recognize that it is the high point of the city. Actually, in David's day, Jerusalem was way down near the valley of Kidron. They have found the walls that went around that particular city at that particular time. And it's way down below. Actually, the present city of Jerusalem is up nearer Mount Zion. And yet it's in the Israel side, actually. And it's not a part of the old city. Here's where the palace of David was built. And later on, below him, that's where the temple was to be built. David chose all of this. Now, Zion and Jerusalem was David's city. He has many psalms that tell us about Jerusalem. And very frankly, it wouldn't be my favorite city. I agree with David on many things, but not on Jerusalem. Pilate hated this city, and he only came up there during the feast days. That's the reason he happened to be there at the Passover when the Lord Jesus was arrested. He was there to keep order. And when it was over, he retired to Caesarea because he loved it down there on the Mediterranean. And I'll be very frank with you, I think I would much prefer that than Jerusalem. But as far as the Bible is concerned, Jerusalem is yet to be the great capital of this earth. And I'm delighted to know that I'll not be living there in eternity. I'm going to be in the new Jerusalem, and it has a much greater vantage point than the earthly Jerusalem. But we need to note here, David took the stronghold of Zion the same as the city of David. You see, what he did, he moved and took the top of the hill and not the city proper. And from that vantage point, he was able to take this city of the Jebusites, and they found themselves overwhelmed before they even knew that there was a battle going on. Now we read here, verse 8, and David said, on that day, whosoever getteth up to the gutter and smiteth the Jebusites, and the lame and the blind that are hated of David, so he shall be chief and captain. Wherefore they said, the blind and the lame shall not come into the house. Now, David here is doing something that apparently is the result of his years of out yonder roughing it. And David was a rough and ready individual, by the way. Now, keep in mind, God would never let him build the temple. So don't become too critical, because God is the one who judged him. And we need to remember, even believers should recognize this one of another. Who art thou that judgest another man's servant? To his own master he stands or fall. And I have no right to sit in judgment over you. You have no right to sit in judgment over me. Now, I am going to have to stand before God as a believer. My works will be tested, and yours will too, my beloved. Not for salvation, to see whether you're going to receive a reward or not. Now, since I'm his servant, and you're his servant, then I'm not your servant, and you're not mine. Therefore, we're not to judge each other on that basis, you see. Now, let's not judge David, because God already judged him. And I want to tell you, God took him to the woodshed and gave him a good whipping. We're going to see that. Now we're told in verse 9, so David dwelt in the fort and called it the city of David. That was Mount Zion. And David built round about from Milo and inward. And David went on and grew great, and the Lord God of hosts was with him. And Hiram king of Tyre sent messengers to David, and cedar trees, and carpenters, and masons, and they built David a house. Now you see, when he moved up there, took the city, why, he now has a wonderful friend in a man up there in the north, and that was Hiram, king of Tyre. And David perceived that the Lord had established him king over Israel, and that he had exalted his kingdom for his people Israel's sake. And Hiram recognized that David was an outstanding man. So he worked out with him an arrangement whereby he supplied materials and workmen to build him a palace. And we're told, verse 13, and David took him more concubines and wives out of Jerusalem after he was come from Hebron, and there was yet sons and daughters born to David. Now that is the record of the facts. It's not God's approval, because it's here. We'll find out was definitely God's disapproval, and in his son Solomon, it eventuated in the splitting of the kingdom today, and finally really brought on the Babylonian captivity. Why? Because this man is king. He's in a place of leadership, and this is wrong. Well, who says it's wrong? God says it's wrong. And after all, this is his universe. He makes the rules. If you don't like them, well, I don't know about you, but most of the rules of God are pretty good. The fact that God today is put us on a universe, and he sticks us on here with scotch tape. We today have another name for it, but it is one of the laws of God that you're going to just be held to this earth, and you can't get very far away from it. It'll pull you right back down. And that's a law of God, by the way. He has some good rules and regulations, and after all, he made it. It's his universe. Now, will you note here that we find something that we need to note in particular? And these be the names of those that were born unto him in Jerusalem, Shammua and Shobab. Now, I know nothing about those two boys, and Nathan and Solomon, but I do know something about them. From the line of Nathan came Mary, the mother of Jesus. From Solomon came Joseph. And from both of them, the Lord Jesus got the bloodline and the legal title to the throne of David through Nathan and Solomon. And that's the reason that it's recorded here for us. Now we find that David carries on here in a monotonous sort of way, this war with the Philistines. But when the Philistines heard that they'd anointed David king over Israel, all the Philistines came up to seek David, and David heard of it and went down to the hole. And we find here that there was war between David and the Philistines. Never was there peace.